Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome back to another episode of I Shouldn't Say This, But. My name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. In this episode, I'm actually going to talk about my job as MD and I want to talk about leadership. I think it's important to be really honest about the pressure that I put on myself to be and to seem perfect and make the right decisions in a timely manner that's the right thing for everybody, and to show the world that I'm a good leader and to do the right thing internally, and just how at odds that is from the reality. I wanted to talk about this because, and this isn't me, this isn't an episode of me looking for sympathy at all. I know I'm in a very privileged position. I get rewarded because of the role that I'm in, but I never expected to be in this position. When I was younger, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I still joke that I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And I found myself 4.5 years ago in the role of a managing director, which was never, because I didn't have a plan, was never in the plan. And there are so many elements to leadership that I have had to get my head around with the help of Karen, that have helped me become a little bit more aware. But the last 12 to 18 months, I think, have exacerbated that pressure that I have put on myself in the fact that I feel like I am responsible for 130 people's lives. I'm the ultimate responsibility about whether they get paid on a monthly basis, whether they can pay their rent, whether they can pay their mortgage and feed their families, whether they're happy in work, whether they're getting the most out of it, whether our clients are happy, whether they're getting good work, and whether we as leaders are making the right decisions in the right places. I have been thinking recently, because there's things that I really want to do, but we're so busy. It's kind of like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And again, I'm not looking for any sort of sympathy. I know I'm very lucky, but I also want to talk about the realities of leadership. It's something that I've thought about during my career, from what I've observed of the managers and leaders I've worked under, right up to the things that I've experienced since becoming one myself. And at every level, it's been a kind of unspoken secret that no one actually knows what they're doing. Now, that might seem like a really sweeping statement, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people listening who will have a lot to say in response, but really think about it for a moment. We've been in such strange circumstances for the last 12 to 18 months, something that no one could ever have predicted. And for anyone who does say that they've got it all figured out when it comes to leading a company or leading a team whilst navigating a global pandemic, people's mental health crises, everything else that's gone on in the last few months and year, then I think they're probably telling porkies. There is a false sense of expertise that surrounds leadership roles, and I think it is responsible for a lot of the problems that we encounter when we enter into them ourselves. Why do we feel the need to be perfect? I have talked before about being the child of two teachers, and I have always got it ingrained in me to do my best. So I think there's a little bit of that anyway, regardless. And that achievement narrative has been with me since I was little. So this cycle of perfection, I think, starts way before we actually become leaders. When we first enter our careers, we soak up everything we see. Whether we realize it or not, we're learning what it means to be part of a team, what it means to be professional, how we should behave in certain settings, and how we should interact with the people around us. These lessons are learned by observing our colleagues and our leaders. But I think I've learned more of how not to do things than how to do things. I've been in businesses where there's been quite a lot of different leadership styles, completely different leadership styles. And there's a few things that I've picked up from people that have stuck with me in terms of good ways, in terms of how to speak to people, how to negotiate, how to leave pauses in conversations to allow people to speak. Little things that you don't really think about, which when you're a leader are incredibly useful. However, I have also learned how not to do things, and that I have taken probably more from than I have the other stuff. What I mean by that is quickly dealing with situations when there's problems, not sticking your head in the sand as an ostrich, how to concentrate on culture and creating a culture that is really authentic and actually lives to the values of the company, that then people will really buy into and they know what they're working towards. These sort of things are the things that I think I have tried to focus on because I have lacked them potentially in the past. As we move through our careers, we become an amalgamation of everyone we've interacted with. We pick up habits, filter out the things that we don't like, and try our best to embody the things that we do. If your leader presents themselves as perfect, if they hide their mistakes, you soak up the idea that they simply do not make them. It promotes this false ideal that leaders are experts, that when you step into a leadership role, you know everything and there is very little left to learn. As I said, I think that this is the false sense of expertise surrounding leadership roles and is responsible for a lot of the problems we encounter when we enter into them ourselves. We get given the opportunity to step up in our careers, but because the leaders that came before us felt that same pressure to present as perfect, we soaked up the idea that you have to be, and we in turn become ashamed of the things we don't know. They become a secret that we're always battling with. And as we all know, pushing things down never works. The feeling always comes back worse than ever before. This manifested itself in me through my imposter syndrome. As soon as I got promoted to managing director of Social Chain, I struggled massively with a fear of failure. I was worried that I was going to get caught out, someone was going to find me out as a fraud, and I would be exposed as not knowing as much about social as I should as the person leading a company. It took me a long time to realise that that was a narrative that I was telling myself in my head, and actually I was capable of building a team around me that filled the gaps of the jigsaw puzzle, the bits that I couldn't do. And I have created a team now that is extremely complementary, that has all the different levels of expertise that a leader needs, but it doesn't just rely on me. But it took me a long time to get there, that I didn't have to do it all myself. I didn't have to know everything myself. I think one of the most powerful things you can do at any stage in your career is say in a meeting, if you feel like you get asked a question you don't know the answer to, is just say, do you know what? I'm going to come back to you on that. Or I'm going to ask an expert internally and then I'll come back to you on that because I'm not quite sure. There is real power in admitting that you don't know something, but you're going to find out the right answer rather than pushing through and basically bullshitting. It's never going to get you far. If you're honest, I think it's one of the most powerful tools you can learn. I still struggle with that feeling today. I know that if I get that feeling, there's something that I need to change in my work-life balance, or I need to be pushing to learn a little bit more or spend a bit more time in the areas that make me feel more confident. So whether that is pushing through new culture initiatives, new benefits, working with HR and happiness to make sure that the office is right, learning about things happening in social media, this podcast is absolutely incredible for helping me overcome my imposter syndrome because of the feedback that I get from everyone that listens. I think what I have realized over time is me not pushing this perfectionist image of a leader and being open and honest about the things that can go wrong, both professionally and personally, and the impact that that can have on your job and your career has actually helped me deal with the imposter syndrome and also made me feel a lot more comfortable in situations where I can say, I actually don't know that, I'll come back to you. So I am constantly combating it. I know that it's work in progress. It'll probably always be there, but I actually look at it as one of my strengths now, where that if I feel that I've got a bit of work to do to learn something new or make me feel a little bit more comforted.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I was thinking about a time that I felt most out of my depth, and there's been a few things. I think the last 12 to 18 months has been incredibly hard as a leader in any company, but especially in Social Chain, we've had a lot going on. So we got the COVID hit like it hit everybody. All of our production stopped. We had to pivot our work into other areas of the business, which put pressure on other members of the team, meant that some people did go on furlough for a little while. We also then had to navigate working from home when our culture is so contained within the office and the things that we do together and the teams that we build and the way that we operate and the way that we share. We had to really think about how we worked from home. On top of that, there was also the fact that we are so passionate about creating a culture of supporting people. That changed because we couldn't keep up with the check-ins of everybody with people working from home. You can't always see whether someone's struggling. That is a lot. On top of that, co-founders of the company then leave. My director of happiness goes off to set up Feel Good Club, which is an amazing thing, but it also left a gaping hole in terms of happiness and culture. I then panicked that everyone was just going to walk out and leave because the founders of the business and Kira had gone, and who's going to want to stay with someone like me at the helm? So there was a lot of pressure there. And then also just the feeling that you have got the responsibility of 130 people's lives in your hands, and you're trying to navigate through something that you have absolutely no clue how and when it's going to change. And that change, nobody likes change, and it changed so much over the last 12 to 18 months. It was really difficult to keep up with. So I think, I cannot lie, I am incredibly tired. And I feel like I am now, as the world, I think I've been waiting, and I think the rest of my senior leadership team have been waiting for that point when the world starts to open up again and restrictions are released. But I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm taking a holiday, but I do worry about leaders, other leaders in companies who've been going through the same sort of thing, the impact that it's going to have on all of us. I think there's going to be a big crash. I've talked quite a lot about burnout. I definitely feel like we've pushed ourselves to that in a fight to try and make the best out of a very strange situation. So I wish you all well if you're in a leadership role and you're coming out of this now and not knowing what the new normal is going to be. We're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. Just make sure you get a holiday, because I haven't taken a proper break in the 18 months. I've had days off, but I've always been constantly there because I felt a real responsibility to be present for the team that are trying to swim through mud like everyone else has been. So these things, they don't just have impact on a leader. They also have impact on the teams. And it's not just us and the future leaders learning from us that suffer as a result of outwardly trying to show perfection, but it's our teams that suffer too. By definition, a perfectionist believes that a flawless standard of work is not only attainable, but the only acceptable outcome. And I think that's why so many people cite perfectionist bosses as the hardest to work with. Wanting to create great work is one thing, but making your team feel as though nothing they produce is good enough is never going to have a positive impact. Seeing your boss struggle openly sometimes can be great for team morale. It lets them know that you are human and reminds them that it's okay to make mistakes and ask for help when they need it. It's a very difficult thing to balance, though, and something that it takes a lot of energy to balance off being positive and not making people panic whilst also being honest about a situation. And one of the things that we've tried to pivot into in the last year is being transparent about business performance. So every quarter, everyone in the company sees where we are from a performance point of view and how we are tracking against our targets. We then go into detail about if things need changing, what we're doing about that. We've also included something because one of the things that I felt like I wasn't managing to do as a leader as effectively was understand what was going on in individual teams. Because the team's grown so much, I used to be able to, when it was 30 of us, know everyone's business, know what was going on in their lives, understand if they were stressed, understand if there was a life problem they were going through, know if there was something that needed to be celebrating. And I think the thing I've really struggled with in the last year is not being as close to the team in a physical sense, which meant that I don't overhear things in those celebratory moments or those support moments that are needed. So we created a culture committee. It's been one of the defining things, I think, that we've done at Social Chain is understand from the people that are doing the work and are involved in the day-to-day what they actually want out of the place that they come to work every day for. So we have launched a pick-your-own benefit policy, which is all around well-being, where people across the company get £50 to spend on whatever they think well-being is to them in that month. So we've got health insurance, dental insurance, gym membership, but also if someone feels like they want to just take time out to go and play golf, that's their well-being. That's what they want to do that month, they do it. Someone's bought skincare because the masks have made their skin bad, so they've bought skincare to help with their well-being. Some people have bought Deliveroos, and I don't care what that money's spent on. We've budgeted it. If that is well-being to them, that's well-being to them. And that's me relinquishing that control over being a leader and putting the power and the trust in the culture committee's hands to know that they're doing the right thing for everybody. And that mass personalization piece, I think, is going to be a huge thing that leaders should start thinking about. Everybody has got their own individual needs. Everyone's got their reason why they wanted to work for your company. And I think you have to step back and not try and dictate and be perfect in everything you do, but listen, learn and move forward. And it's really difficult. Don't get me wrong. It's so hard as a leader to do the right thing in all the right places, especially when you're like me and you want to be liked all the time. You have to separate your business self from your personal self. And a lot of the times I have to make decisions that aren't always popular, but are in the best benefit of Social Chain. So there's been certain decisions that I have had to make that haven't gone down well, that have caused problems, that have probably had people bitching about me. I've had to let that go, even though it's really hard. I've had to let that go in order for the benefit of the rest of the people at Social Chain. And that is something that Karen has helped me through when I've worked with her previously on it, is the separation between the fact that there are two sides of me. And it's helped me be able to make decisions that probably won't be popular. There's also something that you feel like sometimes you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I really want to make sure that post-pandemic, everyone's tired. I want to give people a couple of days to reconnect with their friends and the family when the world opens. The plan was to do that a few months, like last month when Boris said he was going to open the world, and then the plans changed. So all the clients knew, the clients were fine. Everyone sent me back amazing emails. I emailed every single client to tell them that we were closing for 2 days. Everyone was so supportive. The goalposts moved, the dates moved, and it's just coming at a time now where we are so busy. I don't think we've ever had as many productions and big productions going on at Social Chain ever in our history, which has meant that those 2 days are now starting to become more of a hindrance than they are a reward. And that for me is very difficult because I want to make sure that people are getting the benefit of something like that to take that time back, to mean that they get a bit of a break. But also we've got to balance off the fact that it actually adds a little bit more stress in people having strict 2 days off. So we've had to pivot, we've had to move, and we've moved it across a week so people are in and out, so we've not got any days where we don't have cover. But it's being receptive to listening to the team and the team being honest. I talked about us being honest, but it's also as a leader getting honesty back from your team and then moving with that feedback. So don't feel like you're on your own. Listen to the team. Create a culture committee. I don't care if you copy me. It's one of the best things you can do because you can hear from the teams that are doing the work what is needed at that level. And yeah, know that you don't have to do everything, and try and show that you're doing everything. And the best ideas and the best way of working comes out when you listen. Honestly, I think it's so key to address perfectionism in leadership, and this image that we have in our heads as leaders. And in talking about it openly on my podcast and across my social platforms, I'm really trying to help break the stigma down. You don't know what you don't know, and it's okay to admit that at times. To break the cycle, we need to admit it. I am so grateful that I've been able to vocalize my thoughts that have been swimming around in my head. I often say that this podcast enables me to be a better leader. And part of that is because it feels a bit like therapy in itself. So I'm hoping that me speaking openly about the things that I've faced, the way that I deal with leadership, the new things that we're implementing, and the forward thinking approach that we're trying to put into leadership at Social Chain will get other people thinking and help them know that they're not alone. It isn't easy. Yes, we're in a position of privilege, but there are also a lot of things that come with it. So I really hope that this episode has been useful and you get so much value out of it. And you, if you're not a leader yet, it helps you to inspire that you want to be one in the future. So thank you so much for listening. Please leave us a review on Apple and Spotify. We love to see it and we love to see your feedback. So keep them coming in. And I will see you next week.